Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm sorry, on a Friday morning. Friday. Thanks for joining
us. It's Friday. Got to get down on Friday.
That's what they say anyway.
You and I will be at Mississippi College pretty soon, won't we?
That'll be on that's on Saturday.
On Saturday. Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. We will be at the – who are they playing? Give me all the details on that real quick.
So there is – so Winston Academy is playing for a state championship at 4-8 on the season.
Why not?
But I mentioned this, I think, on this podcast. If they played for a state championship, I would be there with bells on. I will be there. I will not be wearing bells, but I will be there. So they're playing Oak Hill, which is the school, the athletic department that's being run by our own Matt Caldwell, who's the who's
we're
the AD
be on opposite sides of Matt Caldwell.
Oh. Yes, we will be cheering against Matt Caldwell's Raiders.
Matt, I'm sorry.
I
didn't know this.
Brian is. I'm sorry, Matt, but Brian is associated with me. Wherever today, I go, he goes.
Today, I am a Patriot.
That's right.
So,
and we won't be far from your home.
No, we're gonna head down to Clinton, watch this game, and then we're headed down to New Orleans this weekend, and we're gonna watch the Saints. We got one of our great listeners was like, "Hey, I've got Saints sweet tickets if you ever want them," and I said, "Yes." So
he is a Saint.
Which, by the way, I just want to point that out. If you're listening to this podcast, what have you done for us? I don't know. What's the question?
You have a lot. That there's, I mean,
lots of listeners.
Samuel's giving us. Samuel's pretty much given us a cow.
Yeah,
we got. It wasn't the whole cow,
very
but
high on our list.
He gave us
Robert
food.
St. John, high on the list.
Corey Pilkington,
high,
very high,
high on the list.
The bar is being set.
Yeah, we're just it keeps going. Next thing I know, it's like, hey, I paid off your house.
Yeah, what have you done for me lately, folks?
You can have a free plug anytime you want one if you pay off that mortgage. That'd be no problem.
Who's going to pay for my children's college?
Let's talk about the people who pay to be on this show. Well, thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Egremont.
There's no way that's correct.
Egremont?
I don't know, but it's...
Egremont. Egremont.
I don't know. Where is this at?
Sharkey County.
Sharkey.
I should go with the variant name, however, according to this here Wikipedia page. The variant name for this community is Baconia. I think that I like that better, to be honest with you.
Is that like the home of bacon? Baconia?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, it sounds like a place you can get good bacon is Baconia.
Sounds good to me. Let's go check it out.
Bacon and coffee. That's a match made in heaven.
The only thing I know about Sharkey is Sharkey Issaquena.
Yeah, they're right next to each other.
Yeah, there was an academy there. I think
it's still there. I think Sharkey Issaquena.
Is it? Okay.
I think so. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you are cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And I'm just telling you, I'm here to tell you that nobody is unhappy when you invite them to the cookout and you say, hey, I'm cooking steaks. Nobody. I'm doing steak for dinner tonight. I got a flank steak. Marinating in the fridge as we speak. So that's going to be.
I ate a ribeye last night.
We're all over it. All over it. Beef. Every time, it's a great winner. Beef, it's what's for dinner. That didn't mean to rhyme. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. The holidays are here. It's time to start shopping for Christmas. And that means a trip to College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, original by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. A week from today is Black Friday. You know the drill at College Corner, beating the clock. You got to get there early, but you can save a lot when you get there early at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and then show you how they're going to help you invest and manage your money and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to a bank that knows you, has a relationship with you, not just with your money. That's what you're going to get when you deal with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We got a couple of things on the show today. Future Brian will be along in a little bit. He'll catch us up on Mississippi State versus Kansas State in the Hall of Fame Classic for some MSU basketball. And then we will finish off the show with my long conversation with Coach Brian O'Connor. I thought it was a very good conversation. I hope that you guys will enjoy it. I know that the excitement level for baseball is as high as it has ever been. So we'll check that out at the end of the show. But we got to talk about this because it affects Mississippi State. It affects the Egg Bowl. I'm just going to point something out to you here. Are you ready? 1998. A lot of smoke and fire around Tommy Tuberville leaving Ole Miss. Final score, Mississippi State 28, Ole Miss 6. 2017, a lot of smoke, a lot of fire about Dan Mullen leaving Mississippi State. Final score, Ole Miss 31, Mississippi State 24. 2022, a lot of smoke about Lane Kiffin leaving Ole Miss. Final score, Mississippi State 24, Ole Miss 22. The trend is not good for teams who have this kind of cloud hanging over them coming into this game. And I will tell you this, in 98, or yeah, 98 State was just a better team. So, Tuberville, even if he was locked in, I don't think he was beating that Mississippi State team that needed to win that game to make sure they went to the SEC championship. 2017, State was a lot better than Ole Miss that year. A lot better. And, you know, Fitzgerald gets hurt, and you could tell just from watching Mullen, he was not really fully engaged in all that. And you saw how it played out. 2022, those two teams were pretty evenly matched. But the Kiffin stuff, it definitely hurt his team. There's just no, you know, you go back and you watch, and that he was distracted. He thought he was going to Auburn the next day. I think he's coaching that game thinking to himself, this is my last game as Ole Miss's head coach. And so here we are. Now, look, by the time we get to the Egg Bowl, and we got another week before we're there, Robbie, they could have, this could all be have been resolved, right? He might sign an extension and lock in for Ole Miss, and that would be a big boost to them. He could, there's a world that exists where he could not even coach this game, which would be something. It's kind of interesting to watch the way Ole Miss is handling this. Like, there's a lot of talk of, like, surely he wouldn't leave his team right before the play. They're putting the pressure on him in that he's going to be labeled forever as the guy who quit on his team if he leaves early. That is happening as we speak. I don't know where we're going to be next Friday. I just know that right now what's happening, you cannot spin it as a positive for the Ole Miss, this current Ole Miss football team.
No, if you have the take that this is set up by Ole Miss, then you're missing the point completely. I know Brandon Walker at this point, I think we've established he was trolling.
It's a work.
There are other people that are like, yeah, I agree with that. Like, okay, try to sell me on that. Try to sell me on this is actually Ole Miss trying to make this a big PR scheme. If that's the case, why didn't they just sign an extension a couple of weeks ago, get it out of the way, and you can still say he turned down Florida and he turned down LSU when they had opportunities. You can still do that. Mm-hmm. Why would you let this drag into Thanksgiving week where you're about to play Mississippi State? We know for a fact if they lose that ball game, the playoff is not a guarantee for
right.
them.
Right.
We've seen the playoff committee, I don't know if punish is the correct word, but they look at a team like how Florida State was a couple years ago, and Florida State was undefeated, I think. They were decimated in injuries. At that point, we knew that they were not a top 12 team. They were not a playoff team at that point with the injuries that they had. And they left them out. I believe wholeheartedly, if Mississippi State wins this game against Ole Miss, they're going to drop 10, maybe 11 in the college football playoff poll. Oklahoma's going to move ahead of them. I don't care about the fact that they beat them head to head.
It will not. I,
That will not be as big a
you're correct.
factor as people think.
So, if you watched the college football playoff ranking show the other night, they said they basically laid it out. They're like, who you lost to matters a lot, except in the case of Notre Dame, Miami, for whatever reason. And as weird as it sounds, if it, look, this is the scenario that I'm looking at here: 10-2 Oklahoma, 10-2 Vanderbilt, 10-2 Ole Miss. If State wins the Egg Bowl, right? Ole Miss's loss at Mississippi State is by far the worst loss. Texas's loss would be a neutral site to Texas. I'm sorry, Oklahoma's loss would be the neutral site to Texas and a home loss to Ole Miss, which their people will push. Well, Mateer wasn't 100% for that game. Vanderbilt will have lost at Alabama and at Texas. They can't, that's as good as it's going to get. They have the best resume. And then even with the loss to Ole Miss, people are going to look at Ole Miss and say, okay, let's play worst case scenario for the Rebels here. They lose to State and Kiffin goes. No, they have the worst loss and their coach is gone. That's not the same team. They're out. That
And
I would be willing to bet anything.
basically one good win. Oklahoma would be their only good win at that point.
Correct.
Oklahoma beat Alabama. Oklahoma, who else did they? Tennessee on the road, top 25 team.
Ole Miss hasn't played Tennessee.
I'm saying Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. They beat Tennessee.
They beat
They beat
Alabama.
Michigan.
They beat Michigan. So it's. I'm just warning Ole Miss fans, that's what's going to happen. And if that is doomsday scenario for Ole Miss, Kiffin leaves, you lose the Egg Bowl, and somebody like Oklahoma puts you out. But that will happen. That feels like that would happen. And so this is a very, very strange and unique situation that I don't think we've ever experienced in college football. I don't know how many times we've seen a coach, which I mean we haven't obviously because the playoff in this juncture is very new, and then you have all the portal stuff coming up and the signing class. I don't know if we've ever seen a situation like this. Lane Kiffin's basically you have three SEC teams fighting over this guy. He's played this out publicly while also not commenting on it in the public. And they're playing for a college football playoff berth, and you're talking about what do we do here? Like Ole Miss doesn't really know what to do because they don't need this distraction, but it's arguably the greatest coach that they've ever had. It very much is the greatest coach they've had in this modern era of football. And then you got LSU and Florida. Like they're going to want Lane Kiffin to be on board. You got to sign a signing class. You have to start the portal stuff. Both of those schools are going to want him on board as well. So for them, best case scenario is Kiffin loses this game, says it looks like the playoffs out, and he takes one of their jobs. For Ole Miss, it's lock him down at whatever point that you can before the Egg Bowl to first of all eliminate any of this indecision or what's he going to do. You get rid of that and you can focus on the game and you can focus on your playoff berth. So anybody that thinks that Ole Miss is orchestrating all this is just missing the entire process. That Keith Carter does not want it to play out this way.
No.
He even said about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we would love to have a situation like Kurt Cignetti where we can go ahead and lock him in and not have to worry about this. So talk to any of your Ole Miss friends. I guarantee you, none of them like this current process. They all want Lane Kiffin. For the most part, deep down, they all want Lane Kiffin to stay. But if he's not going to stay, they want him to go ahead and get this crap over with and move out of the way because this whole thing, I know it's a free market and he can do whatever he wants or whatever, but it is so selfish, man. Like these guys on this team have done nothing to deserve this distraction. They came to Ole Miss to compete for a playoff because Lane Kiffin has put them in that position. So, I mean, he has been a very, very, very large part of this, but these players don't deserve that distraction. And Lane Kiffin is selfishly putting them in this situation and guising it with, we're just focused on this year. No. You're playing the strings behind the scenes with your agent, and you're laughing about it, and you're going on social media, and you're making jokes with people, trolling your fan base, trolling your players. You're not giving anybody a surefire answer, and your team is suffering for it. That is completely selfish and immature from Lane Kiffin. But from a Mississippi State perspective, it's great. This is the best chance that Mississippi State has to beat Ole Miss in this era and where things are with both teams. Taking that into consideration, this is a huge opportunity for Mississippi State if it continues to linger.
You know what's kind of funny is even if Ole Miss escapes this and he's still the head coach after the Egg Bowl, and even if he signs an extension, the NFL is going to look at him too. Now, the timing would be better for Ole Miss, obviously, because at that point the playoff is over and it just is what it is. And I don't think
Yeah, I
their
don't think this
fans,
is over with.
I don't think their fans would be as livid about him going to the Giants or the Dolphins as they will be if he goes to LSU. But that's it. I mean, they're not out of the woods even after next weekend, I would say, is how I want to look at this. But that being
When
said,
I think, I'm sorry.
go ahead,
I
go
just
ahead.
wanted to present something else here.
Yeah, go ahead.
And somebody had, Becky, this is a funny conversation. Becky was telling me of this situation. She was around someone that basically said he had no idea that I was her husband. And he was talking to someone about our podcast and said, man, I don't know how I feel about this podcast. There's this one guy that just keeps interrupting. He won't let the other guy talk. And I was like, oh, yes, Brian. And it was me. I don't feel like I'm as egregious as you are in that.
We are both guilty of this. Don't feel bad.
But
Don't feel bad.
I don't even know if he still listens to the show or not. If you do, thank you for sticking through with us. But I was considering this, like, if does the playoff, I think it does, but is the playoff the only thing that's keeping Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss right now?
Yes. If Ole Miss was 8-3 right now, he'd already be gone.
Like he would have already
He'd
been
already take another
announced.
job. He wouldn't coach the Egg Bowl. He'd be at LSU already.
Like, and that's to me, it's kind of strange.
It's backwards. It should be like 11-1. You got, no chance of leaving whatsoever. There's no thought process to it. This and 8-3, everybody understands. But like,
But also, like, Lane Kiffin to me is the quintessential Ole Miss guy. Like, I don't know if there's a better
You like chicken
fit.
tenders?
Yeah. I mean, he's a frat guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a TikTok, which I'm a TikTok guy now, I guess, but
Your TikTok?
he's dancing on TikTok, all about the perception, the party, all that stuff. Like, and also he has basically no pressure. I mean, he really doesn't. He made that statement on Pat McAfee the other day that, if he loses three games, his job's on the line. No, it's not. If you go 9-3 every year at Ole Miss, you will be there forever. They're not going to fire him if he goes 9-3. They're not. If he's at LSU and goes 9-3, he will get fired. But I think it boils down to coaches are egomaniacs. They all think that they don't think like we do. Like you're at a great place. You have no pressure. You're getting paid a lot of money. They have a good financial backing. He doesn't think that way. He's thinking, I can go to a bigger brand here. My brand can be even bigger than it is right now. I can win a national championship easier at LSU. He's not thinking about what could happen if things go bad because that's not how coaches think. They aren't thinking about they're going to lose because they know they're going to win. In their mind, they are going to win games.
Right.
So it's a very strange situation,
You can
but
apply
he's a
that to
very
Levy.
strange guy.
You can apply that to Levy. Like, why does Levy stick with Chapin? He believes he's going to win.
Yep.
Every mistake, every dumb thing ever done by a coach could just be chalked up to what you just said right there. He thought he was going to win. He believed in his guys. He believed in himself. He was wrong. Like Tony
And I
Soprano.
mean,
A
every
man
co
placed a wager. He lost. He placed another one. He lost again. End of story.
and that's the thing is like we were talking about the other day, and the guy told me. What makes you think you know more than Lebby on the quarterback situation? Like, there are coaches that get fired all the time that know more football than the rest of us. That doesn't mean that every decision that they make is correct.
Oh, I got breaking news here. I don't know if this is breaking or not. I just saw this, though. Lane Kiffin and Keith Carter set to meet Friday with a decision about the coach's future.
Yeah, that is not breaking news. That was said
Okay.
earlier. But
I've not seen that. I
if
have,
they have not
in my
met
own defense,
yet,
Robbie, I've been doing stuff today. I've been
if
busy.
they haven't met yet, I mean, how can that
Probably like a,
inspire any kind of confidence?
you know what this is? You know what it is? It's a sit down.
Is a sit down?
It's a sit down. Boyce will be there.
I mean,
Kiffin walks in at 3 minutes late. Carter, you're late. Kiffin, well, tomorrow I could be on time, but you'll be stupid forever.
yeah, I don't know, man. I
This is
don't know what
great.
this is, but
We'll see where. So hopefully they. I want them just please, guys, if you can, please meet before 3:06. I'd like to have some clarity there before I go. We go back on the air. So, what does it mean for the Egg Bowl? Ole Miss is the much better team, but the distraction cannot be helping. I think we can just sum it up, and in that way. All right, let's talk some basketball. Let's talk to our one and only correspondent here on the show, Mississippi State, Kansas State at the Hall of Fame Classic. We go now to our one and only correspondent on Thunder and Lightning, Future Brian. Thanks, guys. This is Future Brian reporting to you from the future. And right now, Future Brian is wishing that past Brian had said, never mind on this one, because goodness gracious, what a really bad loss for Mississippi State. And it's not great. 98-77 is the final score. State's played two teams in the power conferences at this point, and they've got up 90 plus in both of them. And led tonight, Kansas State was led tonight by PJ Haggerty, the Memphis transfer. That I think Mississippi State had a moment of interest in. Maybe should have brought him in. 37 points out of their 98, 13 of 21 shooting. State allows K-State to shoot 51%, 47% from three, 14 of 30. In a game where State shoots 43%, 28% from behind the arc, not great. Out-rebounded by four, 14 to 8 on the turnover, so they're minus six there. Guys, they just don't look right. From what we've seen from Jans these first 3 years, this team doesn't look anything like those teams. They're soft defensively. They give up wide open looks in the paint. They don't have a lot going on. I mean, Ballard and Achor tonight combined for 15 and 15, but it's a quiet 15 and 15, and they don't contest shots. There's open looks at the rim and on the 3-point line. Just a miserable all-around performance for Mississippi State. Josh Hubbard, hey, he's great as always. 23 points for him, but only one of six from behind the arc. He did well driving, and we got some shots off there. It was 8 of 9 from the line. And Jaden Epps, 18 points for him. He was one of three Bulldogs in double figures. I mentioned Ballard had 10. Jabari McGee, 0 of 5 shooting, 1 of 4 from the line. Sean Jones is one of your starters. 4 points for him. Achor only 5 points for him. They're just not a good team right now. And I don't know, but I'll be honest with you, just watching them play and the way that they look, I don't know that I'm going to have a whole ton of confidence that they're going to figure this one out. They might, but the odds, right now are not great. I look at a guy like Amir Ali who came in and got some garbage time moments. The fact that he can't play is a real indictment because everybody says he's not playing because he's not very good defensively. If he's not good defensively and the guys you're playing you think are your best defensively, he must legitimately just put the ball in the basket for the other team because these guys can't defend at all. Just the number of wide open, uncontested looks that Kansas State got off tonight is incredibly concerning when you still have to play Alabama and Florida and Kentucky and Auburn and LSU and Ole Miss and all the rest of these teams in the SEC. I don't know, man. State only made 7 3-pointers tonight, four of them from Epps. I mean, I'm as taken by surprise as anybody on this one, And Jans, who I thought this year this team was going to try to get back to that identity of, they're just going to grind you to death defensively and try to figure it out offensively. No. Every year Jans has been the coach, and let's stop right there before I go another further step with that statement. In no way am I trying to, say, well, maybe Jans is, we're not having that discussion. But you can't argue that from year one to year four, defensively, they've taken a step back every year. And this year looks like they're worse. At this point last year, we weren't questioning the defense. Remember, early in the non-conference last year, they went to that game in South Haven and dominated Utah. And we all thought, okay, they're off and running. And look, I will say this, and somebody put it out on a couple of message boards, and I saw it on social media. State got kind of unlucky in that they scheduled, or I don't know if unlucky is the right word, to be honest with you, but scheduling two neutral site games that were basically home games for the other team, not great. And had you played Nebraska tomorrow, that would have been the same thing as well. But goodness gracious, Jans has always been so good in the non-conference. We talked about this the other day. In the non-conference, if you want to be a tournament team, three is really your cutoff for non-conference losses. This team still has to play New Mexico, still has to play SMU, still has to play Georgia Tech. These are power teams. They're not great, but neither is State. Still has to play Memphis. And then they get an SEC play. Guys, we could be on the precipice of a very long season. They got to get this figured out, and they got to get it figured out now. This is not how it was supposed to go, and it is going that way. And man, what a disappointing start to this season for a team that I had pretty high expectations for. But it's fair. It's fair to question what's going on. It's fair to look at Jans's record as a recruiter and go, what have you done? That's a fair assessment. Hubbard was coming regardless, right? He wanted to go to Ole Miss. They fired Kermit Davis. We were his second choice, and bam, here he comes. Who of the guys that Jans has brought in do you look at and you go, well, he's been a stud for State? You can't. So it's fair to have some questions, and Jans needs to figure it out. He absolutely needs to figure it out and needs to do it quickly, because if he doesn't, this season's going to get away from him, and you're going to be looking at going into conference play with, five, maybe six losses, and your season's over at that point. Because even if you first off, you're not going to win 10, 11 conference games if you lose five, six non-conference games. You're not even going to make the NIT at that point. But goodness gracious, what a disappointing game and a disappointing start to this season for Mississippi State basketball. Again, final score 98-77. Bulldogs back in action later today against New Mexico. We'll see what happens there. Let's get it back to the studio and present day, Brian and Robbie. Great job, future Brian, or
Shut up!
one way or the other, we appreciate his work. All right, let's move into the last part of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Two great places to eat here in the city of Starkville. Two places you want to go. And if you want to have a great meal, I can make it really easy for you. That's just head to the Cotton District. They're right next door to each other. Lunch or dinner, Two Brothers and the Older Brother. The Two Brothers menu, always the same. Older Brother, different for lunch and dinner, but awesome either way. So if you want to have that fancy sandwich for lunch, or you want to have some really spun up, good Southern cooking for dinner, it's all right there for you at the Older Brother. The Older Brother, Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
Get it, brother.
Need technology for your business? Get Advantage Business Systems on the phone right now. They'll sell you a great copier, printer, computers, laptops, whatever it is. But more importantly, you can save that number, and then when something goes wrong, you can call them back. And it's the same people that you've already got the relationship with. And because they're in Mississippi just like you, a lot of times they'll fix your problem the exact same day. They can get out to you quick and get you back up and running. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon and Co. is the place to go if you're looking for great Mississippi State gear. Everything maroon and white under one roof and on one website, maroonandco.com. The holidays are here. You're doing your Christmas shopping. You know you're going to be getting some Mississippi State stuff. Get it at Maroon and Co. Support a great local business. And, of course, you can save yourself a little money because we got a promo code for you. Thunder15, 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. It's the holidays, though. We should have fewer exclusions, in my opinion. But that's not really up to me. Before you go to your next game at Davis-Wade Stadium, at the Hump, or at Diddy Noble Field, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. I was at Scruggs yesterday. Robbie, I got you a hat. Well, I didn't get you a hat. Our friend Jonathan Skinner got you a hat. So it's
yeah, I figured.
I got it's in my car. I got you a hat.
I figured you did not spend any money on that.
No, he gave us. He was like, "Hey, I know Robbie's a big hat guy here," and I was like, "No problem.
Well, thank you.
I'll make sure
I will wear that. I will gladly wear that hat."
We've got to find an excuse to go to the Tupelo Saltillo region just so you can see this, see everything that's going on in there. It's incredible. This Saturday tomorrow at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Starting at 7 a.m., they've got great giveaways going on all day. They're giving away a couple of grills. They're giving away a Yeti soft cooler. They've got a rifle scope. They've got a lawn sprayer. They got a lot of cool stuff they're giving away. You don't have to be present to win. You just got to come by in the morning and grab a ticket. From 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., the big guy is going to be there. Santa Claus, bring the kids. Let them see Santa. And, of course, come check out all of the great deals all over the store in every department. You can even get a bag of giraffe feed, as we learned yesterday on Sports Talk Mississippi. Oh, yeah.
Giraffe feed?
Giraffe feed? Wallaby feed? Do you have a wallaby?
No, I used to wear wallabies.
That's something different. If you ever get a wallaby and you're like, what am I going to feed it? You just go to Scruggs. Get you a bag of wallaby feed.
That's very interesting. I guess, you know, they have like the, don't they have like a,
yeah, the Buffalo Park there.
Buffalo
yeah.
Park. I don't. I do they have idea. Giraffes there?
They have giraffes there. Yeah.
In Tupelo.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So well, I guess that's why they have giraffe feed.
They really do have it all at Scruggs. They have what you want for less.
They have a monopoly on giraffe feed.
They may have a monopoly. Yeah, you're correct. If you are a Mississippi landowner, Good Hope Land and Timber is a name that you need to know. They've been serving our state for a number of years, and they are a full-service land and timber company. If you're buying or selling land, they are a great name to know. But if you're just trying to safely, efficiently, and sustainably keep your own land the way you want it, that's where Good Hope Land and Timber will shine for you. Whatever it is you're doing with your land, whether it's 100 acres or a few thousand, Good Hope Land and Timber is there to maximize your return and protect your land. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. All right, earlier this week, I talked to the Diamond Dog skipper, Brian O'Connor, about the upcoming season and about a lot of the stuff that's happened in the fall. I think it's a really interesting conversation. I hope you will agree. All of our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by Alora Modern Wellness. The name wellness says it all. You know, we work out hard. You know, life is tough, man. You need to take some time for yourself to help your body rest and recover. That's where Alora Modern Wellness is there for you. They have so many great services that they offer, all of which they can specifically target something, or if you just want to feel better overall, Alora Modern Wellness is here for you. Give them a call today at 662-268-9255, or you can check out their website, aloramodernwellness.com. You can book all of their services right there online, from massage to cryotherapy, heat therapy. If you just need a good stretch, they can help you at Alora Modern Wellness. Let's go down to my interview with Mississippi State baseball coach, Brian O'Connor. It's time to talk Mississippi State baseball, and I've been saying it for weeks. I think the excitement around this program is as high as it's ever been, and that's saying something when we're talking about Mississippi State baseball. Coach Brian O'Connor, kind enough to join us, and Coach, you know, just wrapping up fall practice, what does a baseball coach hope to gain from fall practice, and did you gain it?
Well, Brian, thanks for having me on. First of all, you know, I don't know if there's been a more exciting time in Mississippi State baseball than this national championship trophy behind my shoulder here, right? Obviously a pretty special time in the history of this program, but thanks for sharing that. You know, fall baseball, it went great. You know, there's a lot of intentionality in fall ball. First and foremost, you want to teach your players the pace at which you're asking them to work. Certainly, there's the development part of it that you're taking their skills and trying to elevate that, right? There's the competition piece of it that's so important that they're competing against each other, for jobs. It's good to have competition at each individual position, because when you have great competition, it drives you as a player to be at your best. Certainly, we also had an opportunity to compete against a couple of other teams, Florida State and Louisiana Tech, and that was part of it. So, you're building your team, you're developing your players, you're instilling the pace of what you want them to work. Right, you're getting them to compete to ultimately decide at some point, who are they going to be the starters at the positions and all that. So there's a lot of purpose behind it, and I felt like we did a great job in fall ball, the players did, and we've transitioned to this kind of mode of player development now coming out of fall baseball.
So, when you hire a new football coach, they would call that first camp. They would say there's a lot of installation of, we got to learn our way of doing things. Did you have that here, or is baseball different in that way?
No, it's not different in that way. Certainly, there's a certain way that a coaching staff likes to do things. There's certain things that I believe in. There's a lot about that. It's, bunt defense, pop-up priority communication, all kinds of different things from the game standpoint. But most importantly, right out of the gate, you instill your standards of what you how you believe they should not only play the game, but also how I believe that they should carry themselves as young men. So that installation, as you use that term, is absolutely part of what you do in this kind of transition.
What's a typical Brian O'Connor practice like?
Well, it depends on is there a scrimmage that day? It depends on what you have on your calendar that you're trying to accomplish. But it typically starts out by, some small group individual prep before we start as a team. So, for example, the pitchers are working out together and doing their prep before team practice starts for about an hour, and the position players are doing their pregame prep to get warmed up and getting a lot of reps in, and then we start together as a team, and do things, skill work together as a team. And then it depends, do we move into a scrimmage, or are we doing, more team skill development throughout the day? So, a big part of it is it's going to be incredibly detailed. I send the practice plan out to the team the night before practice so they can be prepared. I send it out over GroupMe, and so they know exactly what the expectations are for the next day, and they can be prepared for it. And then it's just go. We're going to work as fast and efficient as we can. I believe in efficiencies when you're dealing with young men that are 18 to 22 years old, that we're going to keep moving, and it's going to be at a fast pace, and we're going to get a lot of work done.
So you mentioned that you got to play some live competition this fall. When you watched your team play, what surprised you about them?
I don't know that, like, there was a lot that surprised me, because, for most of them, there was no history, right? And so, I wasn't surprised about this. I was excited about their buy-in immediately to the pace that I believe that we needed to work at. And, they are a really locked in special group of young men. I felt like, I just finished up the other day my individual one-on-one meetings where I spend 30 to 45 minutes with each player on the roster individually and talk to them about where we're at, where they're at. And to a man, Brian, every one of them said how excited they are because they believe that the team chemistry that we have, that we've built over 14 weeks, is some of the best team chemistry that they've ever been around. So they've really connected really well, really encourage each other, working well together. And that typically is what carries you through challenging times.
How quickly do you get an idea of what the roles are going to be on your team, be it in the lineup or in the pitching staff? Do you have a pretty solid idea now, or do you need to get through the next couple of months before, when you go into opening day, you're like, all right, this is where I want guys to be?
Well, certainly when you watch them throughout the fall, you start to see things and imagine things of how it could look, right? But under no circumstances right now have I made any kind of decision. And that's because over the years, I've seen players have great falls and be like, wow, this guy's a heck of a player or a pitcher. And then you get to January and February and you're like, what happened? And vice versa. You've had the other. Right, you've had guys that maybe it's a freshman that has getting acclimated to this level of baseball, and then over November and December and January, they've taken those lessons and they've elevated their game. So I never make any decisions this time of the year, on who's going to be the starter at what position, because that's not fair to every guy in the clubhouse. And when you keep that competition going all the way and up until opening day and through the season, you ultimately get the player, the best version of them.
So the last time you and I talked was before the Major League Baseball draft, and I'm sure you had some ideas and some hopes of the guys you would be able to bring to campus. You might be able to survive the draft. I'm gonna guess that you did not believe you were gonna get Jacob Parker to campus when that conversation took place. Can you tell us a little bit about, when you found out he was going to be coming to Mississippi State, and what kind of impact can a player like that have as a true freshman for you?
Well, it was, every situation is different. I never rule out that, it could be in a player's best interest to go to college, and every player has to make that their own individual decision regarding that, And so, Jacob is one of many examples of a player that, ultimately they decided that enrolling in college and being a college baseball player was their best decision for their journey to ultimately be the best player that they can be. And that's what it's about, And, we just finished our signing day the other day with high school recruits. And, people can speculate, oh, this player has no chance to get to college or whatever. Sometimes you lose recruits that you never think would have been drafted high enough to go. And so it's hard to predict, but ultimately it comes down to each player and each individual family deciding what is best for them for the next 3 years of their life and this journey. And so, I've had many players over the years make that decision to come to college, and it's been a, the best decision that they've made in their life and ultimately has, finished out with in their career with being a Major League Baseball player. So, we handle them all in individual cases, and Jacob Parker was no different.
And you kind of hit on what I wanted to ask you about, because you have had some success throughout your career of bringing in guys that everybody would have maybe written off as, ah, well, he'll probably go in the draft. What's different about the recruiting process for a player like that versus a player that you like, think can be a good college baseball player, but you kind of know going in he's not likely to be a draft risk on sign when we get to that point?
Yeah, I mean that is what it is, and that's why I go back to I think it's so important to handle them as each individual cases. We can speculate right now where guys might be projected, next July and things like that, but like, players got to perform, and Major League Baseball has to make a decision. And there's some players that you have a pretty good idea that they're going to come to college. One, because either they've shared with me already that they believe that going to college first is their best route. And as a college coach, we all love hearing that, right? And it's not a, it's not a competition of us against professional baseball. It's just two different options that they have, right? And I don't ever want a player to come to college not believing that it's the best thing for them at that point in their career.
So we'll just keep it as professional as we can, and we'll say you've been on a good run on the recruiting trail over the past couple of months. How enjoyable has this recruiting process been for you at Mississippi State? Because it seems like right now, on the outside, you're doing less recruiting and more selecting.
Yeah, well, I can tell you there's a lot of recruiting as part of it, and when you're in competition for high level players, right, that have a lot of other great options, it's a lot of recruiting, right? And so, but we've been very, very consistent with what our message is about what a young man is going to get in this uniform, but also too, at the same time, Brian, it's about this process and them making their decision. It's about what they're going to become, right? I think a lot of people and recruits think about this decision about, okay, well, what am I going to get there, right? And that's fine and all, but what it's really about is what they're going to become while they're here, right? And so it's been a lot of fun. It's been relentless. Right. And it's been a lot of work, but that's what we love to do is we believe in so much about what the opportunity is for young men here at Mississippi State and for them to be able to develop. And we're just continuing to be consistent with that message and in your terms, selecting the right young men, making the offers to the right young men that we believe are best for Mississippi State.
So I'm always interested in competitors and what motivates them. And so for you, is the motivation the same here at Mississippi State versus your previous stops? Or is there something about having a new challenge, being in a new place that gives you maybe an added layer of motivation?
Well, certainly, part of this me for me personally and our staff, Brian, is the opportunity and challenge in front of us. But the opportunity and challenge is at other places too, right? It's just a matter of how you as a coach, how you as an individual look at it, right? And certainly schools are different and things like that, but when you are a competitor at whatever it is you do, right? Not just a baseball coach, any of us, when you're a competitor, you want to be in a position to where you're challenged, right? You want to be in a position where you're competing against the best because competition draws the best out of us, right? And so I love it what we have an opportunity to deliver here at Mississippi State, right? And what the opportunity is that the young people have. And I'm one of those guys that is highly, highly motivated by being successful and the fear of failure, right? I hate to lose more than I love to win, right? And so, when you're thinking about that every day, right, that gets you out of bed early in the morning and gets you at a pace all day until into the night, I was on a recruiting call last night with the player until 10:45 at night, and I love that, right? Because that's what it takes to be successful.
So we're going to go off topic here for this one just a little bit, but I am a diehard San Francisco Giants fan. Have been since there's a guy out in front of your stadium, one of his statues. He lured me into San Fran, and I've been with the Giants ever since. And I'm interested on your thoughts on Tony Vitello going to Major League Baseball. Do you see him being successful at that level?
100%.
All right.
100%. I see him
That'll
being.
work. Good news.
I don't know Tony that well, other than I've had a chance to compete against him in Omaha, and things like that, and just a little bit of an interaction. Spent some little bit of time with him 2 summers ago after Tennessee won the national championship, out recruiting and talking to him and things like that. Right. I love it. The reason I love it is Tony made the decision to be the first guy through the door, right? To break some barriers down, right? Obviously, Pat Murphy has been very successful in Milwaukee as a former college baseball coach, but he took a different direction, got into managing in the minor leagues for a number of years and bench coach in the major leagues and things like that. The fact that Buster Posey had the strength to say I'm going right after a college guy straight from college into a Major League Baseball manager. I hope Tony's successful. I believe he will be successful, but I really hope that he is successful because I believe it's good for the college game. I believe in us trying to make this link and this connection with professional baseball, college baseball, and professional baseball the best that we possibly can. It's the best, you know, and this is just one example of this, right? You know, the fact that the connection has gotten better over the years, you know, the draft has shrunk through contraction, less minor league players and teams has strengthened college baseball, right? And I think that, you know, Major League Baseball, professional baseball, and college baseball working together more and more is what's part of what's best for this game. And so I think for all of us, for professional baseball and college baseball, you know, I hope this works and I believe that it will.
Yeah, I know you just got here, and I'm certainly not trying to run you off, but have you ever considered or would you consider a major league job down the road?
You know, I don't, you know, really spend a lot of time thinking about those things. You know, I live my life, you know, one day at a time, right? With also thinking about, you know, what is best for our team 2 months from now, 9 months from now in recruiting, you know, and so I've, you know, hey, I think it's pretty cool. I think it's, you know, I think it's a challenge, right? I'm sure that's why Tony decided to do this because he wanted a new challenge in his life, right? And so, you know, you never say never, right? But you know, I think it's pretty cool what he's doing right now.
I sure hope you're correct on that one. I'll say that. Last question here. Just a couple weeks ago, the Diamond Dog Classic. I don't know that Mississippi State has ever had three sellout crowds after baseball season ended, but between the party animals and this, you know, 10,000 plus in all of those games, were you surprised by just how many people were in the stadium and on a November Friday for an alumni game?
Oh, sure. I mean, anybody that wouldn't say they were surprised is, I think they'd be lying to you. But like that said, Brian, not really. And the reason is I've seen for 5.5 months the energy, the passion that everybody has for Mississippi State baseball, and specifically those men that wear this uniform. I mean, it is unmatched in college baseball, right? So, yes, to get over 10,000 tickets sold, and I swear that there were more like 12,000 people in the stadium, right? But to have over 10,000 tickets sold for a six-inning alumni game speaks volumes about the passion that these fans have for this baseball program. And that is exciting.
I had a chance to talk to Jake Mangum earlier this week and asked him about participating in that. When you got to talk to some of State's former players, what was their message to you?
Like, you know, all smiles, excitement, energy for the program, you know, enthusiasm for certainly being back and how much that uniform means to them. But you know, I've had a number of conversations with many former players over the last 5.5 months, and some of them have addressed our team and you know, just their energy and excitement for Mississippi State baseball is really, really exciting.
Been a great conversation, Coach. Always appreciate your time. I'm already looking forward to opening day. Coach Brian O'Connor, Mississippi State Baseball, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Brian.
I think he was flattered. So I asked him about Vitello. I was like, you know, what do you, how do you think you'll do? And he was very positive, which gave me a lot of hope, right, as a Giants fan. And so I asked, I was like, look, I'm not trying to run you off. I know you just got here, but you ever thought about that? I think he was flattered. He was like,
That you thought
oh,
he was
that'd be
MLB
really
guy?
cool. But, you know, I was like, successful coach, you know, be worth the thought.
It's interesting that you say that though. Like I've said this before, but you could argue who the best coach is in college baseball. I think Jay Johnson is probably the best right now,
Including the last three national titles, yeah.
based on resume. I think, you know, obviously Jim Schlossnagle was up there, but as far as like the total package, it doesn't really get much better than Brian O'Connor.
What I would say.
Recruiting, coaching, developing, evaluations, program building, all that stuff. Like he is the best right now. And with Tony Vitello out, there isn't a better coach I don't think that Mississippi State could have gotten. I think Tony Vitello would have done a great job at Mississippi State. I'm not saying he would have come anyway, but I'm just saying like if you had your pick of any coach in the college baseball stratosphere, a lot of people would have said Tony Vitello. But I don't know if there is a better fit for Mississippi State than Brian O'Connor from the understanding the tradition here and understanding what it means to coach here. Jake Mangum said it the other day on the show. And then evaluations and recruiting and all that stuff. There might not be a better fit
Yeah.
than Brian O'Connor. Still got a coach, but it's
If you
hard to
listed,
imagine him not doing a good job here.
if you tried to rank the best college baseball coaches, you're not going to get much past like three, maybe
Yeah.
four before you get to O'Connor. It would have sucked to have gotten Vitello because he would have taken the Giants job. Can you imagine if State had hired him? You'd had like 3, 4 months of like, oh my God, Mississippi State is going to be unbelievable. And then he takes the Giants job. That would have been the most painful thing ever.
That would have been brutal, but it would have been a Mississippi State
It would have been
way of
very
life.
Mississippi State. Yeah. Crystal Method's image would have worked in that.
Mississippi State head coach Josh Elander, who is actually on the board earlier.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Tomorrow's show. We will I'm sorry, no, next show is Monday. Monday's show. Going to give you guys a little piece of inside baseball. We are going to record Monday's show on Friday because we're going down to New Orleans for the weekend. So it's just going to be kind of general egg bowl stuff. Start talking about the game, start getting your mind right, all of that good stuff. Whatever happens in basketball Friday night, we'll have to wait for another day. We'll talk about that when we get a chance. Talk to you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.